Thankful for all the praises to God from the music folk and from each of you. Second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol. And God reminded the people first that He brought them out of the land of Egypt. We were enslaved to sin. He'll bring us to Himself, start giving us commandments so we know how to live. And idols can creep up in our hearts. Some Bible teachers say that the human heart is an idol factory. We have a tendency to look at God's creation and start to worship stuff, even the good things that God made, you know, birds, pets, people, gold, silver, big guns for security, no guns for peace. Anything in creation, we boom, say, this must be the answer. And God says, no, He offers Himself to us instead. A French historian, de Tocqueville, who said a lot of good things about our country, said in the 1800s, there's a strange sadness that haunts the people in the midst of abundance. And you think what God has given, you know, from Himself and from just the daily bread plus. I always preach to my family, if you have a car, you know, you have more than, I don't know, probably 80% of the world. If you have a restroom, you have more than 60% of the world. On you go. So strange sadness, because we have made idols for ourselves instead of giving thanks to God. Some of the sermon is a result of Bible teaching from Timothy Keller, New York City pastor, real good guy. He said, guard your hearts in the classroom, in the work office, at your time of labor, in the gym stadiums, where sacrifices must be made in order to earn the good life. Okay, that's with taking work or what you're doing and making it an idol, forgetting that experience. God's in the middle of it. He says, what are the gods of power, money, and beauty except little gods that sometimes we give our heart loyalty to above loyalty to God? A counterfeit god is something or someone that we have made so essential to our heart and emotions that when we lose it, we think life is hardly worth living. Okay, it breaks our heart when you put everything into something in creation. Of course, that was meant to glorify God, not meant to be our foundation or rock or savior. He points out some examples of idolatry, idols. You know, we're not going to be before a statue, chances are, or you know, think if I have something in my pocket, everything will go well. All kind of superstitions like that. But he says sometimes we take good parts of God's creation and worship that, and while doing so, we break our heart and we kind of mess up the gift. You know, you want to mess up your children? Put your children first in your life. You want to mess up on your job? Put your job first. And on you go. Communication, if you want to mess up on that gift, you shoot instead for popularity. Popularity, he defined, ignoring Jesus, His truth and grace to please the crowd. Lord, help us to trust You. Be that light and salt He sent us into the world for. Some people make church an idol. Church, a place to make myself happy and to feed myself. Yuck, you know. Church, a place to make myself happy and to feed myself, not a place to pray, to repent, to thank God, to honor God, to look out for the other guy. Sometimes we make our work an idol. That's less and less popular. It used to be that way. And we might not kneel before a statue of beauty, Keller says, but sometimes we get depressed and even have eating disorders because we're concerned about, you know, physical image, how we're doing. We don't pray to Baal. That was a false god who gave crops and success and so forth. But when it comes to money and career, we do a child sacrifice or a family sacrifice and put false gods first over spouse, God, loved ones. It's a common problem. And it really takes this wisdom and communication and heart, you know, leaning on each other to follow God in these areas. Good warnings from God's Word against idols. Jeremiah. There you go. God warns the people. A big thing that we often do as God's people, we take the Lord plus something else, put it right next to Him. Why go to Egypt to drink from the muddy Nile? Now, the Nile River was supposed to be, you know, provide transportation, water the crops, and et cetera. But people said, the Nile. This is life for us. And this is going to help our souls and everything else. And we'll even worship the crocodiles while we're at it. So why satisfy your soul just on that? It's going to poison you if you do that. Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Something that creation can never do, but the Creator can do. You know, find our rest in Him. He's come, and my soul has found a resting place. And He quenches our thirst for living, as it were. Here's some warnings from the New Testament. My dear friends, flee from idolatry. That was a warning right before Paul talks about the Lord's table. And people, they were all concerned about, well, what should we eat and not eat? What should we drink and not drink? What about sexuality? You know, how much of that can I get into? And Paul says, hey, don't make idols out of what God made. It was to be a blessing to enjoy. Gift of food, gift of drink, gift of sexuality. Don't make a parade about those things for yourself. Good heavens, you know. The little bunnies and squirrels, they have those things. They don't go blowing them up, you know, to the whole point of life. But instead, fellowship with God, friendship with God. Put to death greed, which is idolatry. A good Christian leader once said, live simply so others can simply live. God gives us blessing to bless others. So your house, what the Lord gave you, you're like a little Salvation Army. Okay. You're there to kind of bless other folk. You know, and you don't have to wait till your t-shirts get four holes in them to say, I think this will fit you here, buddy. Try this on, you know. You bless with what God has given you. Watch out for greed. It's common. And to turn to God means to turn from idols. And again, this means to say, okay, Lord, I put you first, so then I treat creation as glorifying you. We don't just say, I'm just going to think of God, and I'm going to forget about people, birds, and trees, and oceans, and all that. You're still a physical creature. You're going to raise physically with a new spiritual, physical body there. But God values the physical world. And then, dear children, there's some tenderness here at the end of 1 John. You know, he's saying, look, the Lord loves you. You're like little children. Turn from idols. Don't give your heart to those things. Give thanks for blessings, but don't make them an idol. Keller said this in closing with him, idolatry, asking someone or something to be what only God can be and to give what only God can give. How great the Lord is, give of Himself. And so His gifts are put in the right place. I'll say in my own life, embarrassing and, you know, constantly asking God for the ability to repent, I've had probably 1,000 idols and sometimes still do. Whatever creation is there, I can make an idol out of it. And sometimes it catches you, you know, and God has to say, hey, what are you doing? I provided that to bless you, not for you to worship and give your heart to it. And so, I found this though, and I still repent regularly. None of the idols that I've ever had, like God and this idol, none of those idols ever gave me joy, peace. They never loved me back. They never gave me forgiveness. They never gave me the gift of heaven. Jesus. Now, He rose from the dead. And He gave me joy and peace and strength and forgiveness and the gift of heaven. And interesting when Paul said, I'm very distressed. There's all these idols in Athens, you know, can be distressed about the idols in your soul. He says, hey, remember, God made everything and Jesus rose from the dead. And he's the one true God. Charles Spurgeon challenged believers. He said, dear soul, search yourself this morning to see if you are guilty of double dealing. God, and then some of my favorite part of creation. You know, having one foot in the land of truth, another foot in the sea of falsehood, ultimately leads to a terrible downfall. And I could say that. All the idols I worshiped disappointed me. Because I put them up on that place they were never supposed to be worshipped. Just instead say, worship God. Let creation glorify His name. Put it in a proper place. An old-time Christian song of the 80s, that's old time, said, I put away my idols. Money wrinkles and things do decay. I put away my idols. My car ends up in the junkyard. Okay. So check out your car. In about 20 years, you could visit it in the local junkyard. But we're thankful for them in the meantime. But to contrast idols, and one Greek word for idol means good for nothing, when you put it first, is the greatness of God. You know, nobody sang this about an idol. Amazing. How can it be that you, my God, should die for me? Nobody ever thought that about an idol. This has been sung to the Lord for a long time, 280 years. I just picked a whole bunch of these songs. Danny, you'll have to click them for me. The battery's low here. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, well, we're going to keep singing God's praise. And people have been singing that a long time again to honor His name. Love divine, all loves excelling. That's amazing. That love itself came from heaven. Joy of heaven to earth come down. That's dear Jesus. You know, nobody ever trusted Jesus and said, you know, I thought it'd be a lot greater than that. We might expect, you know, Him to do things like on our timetable, but nobody ever said, he was weaker than I thought. Oh, He was greater than I thought. And then this song, sung for 200 years, 300 years. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. I'm going to bypass a lot of these songs and get to the closing. This is a special, more recent song. God's holy. You know, so far above everything. Praise Him in the morning, in the noontime when the sun goes down. Mix up your songs. It doesn't matter. There you go. And then at the end here, this is all my righteousness. Nobody ever looked at an idol and said, this is all my goodness right here. You'd say, that's pretty sad. But Jesus, our righteousness, this is all my hope and peace. Nothing but what Jesus did for us, the blood of Jesus. And then, in closing, some more recent praises. We'll do one more, Dana, at the end here. Keep rolling. There you go. About a year now, people have been saying, Lord, You've been faithful. You've been good all of my days. I will cling to You, Jesus, come what may. How faithful He is, the one true God. You know, seek first His kingdom. Put Him first in your heart. He's first in importance, whether we acknowledge Him or not. I like this. You're one step away from surrender, to turn to God and say, no idols before God. Always number one, dear Jesus. One step away from coming home. One step away from arms wide open. Interesting, you worship an idol, you know what it'll do? It'll say, you're not good enough. It'll say, you got to try harder to be a part of this thing. You got to bow down lower. you got to give more money, burn more something, you know, and then come crawling on your face and you might get blessed. But with God, I mean, just who He is, we get humbled and we come to arms wide open. His love has never let us go. So God says, He's the Lord our God. Have no idols that we have made. And honor His name. He's so delightful. And idols of our life just give us heartache, pain, and pain and heartache to everybody else. And take those things of creation as gifts that honor God, and He'll always be first. And we pray today, keep in mind for the people who are hurting, and be at peace in your own soul to the Lord. Let's pray together.